something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Guess what, buds? We're on the Picture Radio.
And we talk about your favorite hip shows.
Plus, we play a new game, The Life of Pi, Dubois. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
You're not the only ones that get uni.
How's it going, bud?
Hey, bud, how's it going?
Holy cow, we're doing it for the first time ever. A video pod.
A video pod.
This will
talking and
seem
looking.
Much more underwhelming to people listening.
Yeah.
But for people watching, it's actually a brave new frontier for us.
Yes.
For
Enjoy.
People listening, set the stage. Where are you sitting in your home? What are you doing?
I'm enjoying coffee in my bedroom. And this is the bedroom of my house. And I see you're in the Slayers are right behind you.
They are,
and
yeah.
Yours.
I'm at the dining room table and have an eagle painting behind me that my friend Doug painted for. There was a development called Eagle Ridge Estates in New Brunswick, and he was commissioned to paint a painting for the lobby. And then the development went bankrupt, and he was stuck with this eagle painting. And I was like, I'll take it. So the eagle painting lives in my house.
It's almost like I can just slide down those stairs, and we're doing it right now together.
No kidding.
Right
hey,
in
guess
the posse.
What? Let's start with some breaking news. I switched to tea. I haven't had a coffee in a week.
I know.
Oh.
No, but now we know that it's a weekend.
The only thing
we talked about that
different is that my memory isn't as good.
Do you find like is there a difference? Are you crushing it? No, like it's you wake up and you crave your tea.
I guess so.
Or do you miss like the jolt, or is there no diff?
I don't really miss the jolt. I think the one thing that's a little bit different is I always took my coffee like a dessert. Like lots of milk, lots of sugar. So I'm trying to dial back the sugar, and I haven't found a tea that tastes kind of sweet enough on its own that I don't need sugar. So I'm drinking the Earl Grey right now.
Have you gone across to like the green teas or ginger teas or?
Well, I don't want to get a lack of caffeine headache. So I thought I'd make the leap, and then I can downshift once I'm over here.
Well, green tea has caffeine in it.
Less so?
Yeah. Well, you can do like a lemon ginger where it's kind of like caffeinated.
This is the thing.
I don't know.
I'm not into like raspberry tea or chocolate
like...
tea. Or someone said there's a coffee tea at David's. That seems to really defeat the purpose.
There's a coffee tea?
There's a coffee tea, yeah. Got some intel on butter coffee, by the way, after last week's pod. People wanted to tell me all about it.
What did they say?
If you're on the, is it keto diet? Keto diet? The keto diet.
That's, I know a keto fighting. Is that like same keto?
I don't know. Like
K-I-D-O?
No, this is like K-E-T-O. Keto diet? Okay. No, great. Now we're going to get letters.
Is that the guy who did it? Is it like Atkins? It's a guy? That obviously, that's what I'm going to guess.
I don't think. I feel like it's a science thing. Like it's keto fugligogs in your body. And then you just nurture the ketos and you ignore the other stuff. So
that's it. Butter in coffee is part of the keto.
Yes. Yeah, so when you have, you're going all protein all the time and then your body needs some fat, it gets it through the butter in the coffee.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
That's
so thanks
it.
To the bud for writing that in and explaining that.
Maybe
in a way
we
that
should...
I should have retained better.
And you have to have any kind of butter works. Like my mom was firing like the scoopable jobs in the little cups into the coffee.
Okay, but she's not doing the keto diet. Where did she discover it?
Well, I mean, it's that. Honestly, it's the. She was at the wedding and she was kind of banged up, part with her dementia.
So it's not a diet.
No, not at all. It was just like a what? Because when I said, "Hey, mom, you're putting coffee and butter in there," she was like, "Oh no, I didn't want to do that."
Aww. Do your kids do creamer shooters at restaurants?
Jack did a couple. Yeah.
That's a couple shots.
I used to do that. Did you all the
For
time?
For sure.
Ponderosa with
yeah,
grandma.
Yeah, a couple sugar packets too.
No, really?
Sure.
Ketchup? Would it be ketchup?
Sugar.
I know, but ketchup, like any condiments?
I wouldn't do that.
relish when you're hungry.
Relish shooter.
When I was a kid and there was nothing to eat, we used to have if there was nothing but bread, it would be bread with syrup sandwiches.
Aww, did you ever have butter sandwiches?
Yeah, but if there's no butter, you'd have some syrup sandwiches.
Like Aunt Jemima on bread?
There's always syrup, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, what about water sandwiches where you just wet down the Wonder Bread and pop it in your mouth as a ball so it's more dense? Who wants more water sandwiches?
The Ronnie sandwich is the grilled the toast with just tomatoes and mayonnaise on it, or sometimes just mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise sandwich, so yeah.
He'd come on and he'd be like, he'd just be all gross with the side of the mayonnaise. Like, that was part of the things. Like, it's not enough that you're eating a mayonnaise sandwich, but you have to lick the mayonnaise. And just all greasy.
I'm not a mayonnaise fan, but I did go through a bacon and mayonnaise sandwich phase in my early 20s.
Well, there's fancy mayonnaise now, eh? There's not just, there's like the Hellman's, whatever, but now there's like the extra fancy, I don't know, old school, whatever the hell it's called, but it's pretty good.
I'm not feeling that.
Try it out, though. You never know.
Maybe, although I will tell you.
It's a good base for a tartar sauce.
My wife pronounces the D in sandwich, and it brings me a lot of joy every time she does. And I had instead of a sandwich, I had an excellent sandwich yesterday at a new place in Halifax called the Bird's Nest, and it was a meatloaf sandwich. They put a chunk of meatloaf between two pieces of bread and some cheese in it, and it was baller.
Really?
Yeah. What's your go-to sandwich?
It depends, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes a peanut butter and jam sandwich is not a bad idea.
What do you go for jam? What's your go-to jam?
What do you go for that?
What do you want for that?
I like raspberry jams pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really like strawberry jam because it always has the big chunks of strawberries.
See, I don't mind that.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, toasted peeps and jeebs. I'm all about it.
I don't mind a good tuna sandwich either.
A tuna fish sandwich?
Yeah, or salmon.
I like it when people call it tuna fish, but I don't like it when they put mayonnaise on the bread in addition to mayonnaise in the tuna mix. I feel like that's redundant.
Yeah, no, you should just fire it up as is.
Mayonnaise is like a caulking. It doesn't need to be on the mattress as well, you know?
A little celery in there? A little jalapeno never killed a guy?
Not as offensive as raisins and butter tarts, but I wouldn't say the jalapenos and tuna is where I go.
You don't like raisins and butter tarts?
No, do you?
You like the pecans and the butter tarts, though?
No.
You like that? No? That either? I don't know. Sure, I'll crush all of those. Sometimes the raisins, if they're too slimy, I'm not down, but sometimes the raisins can be good in there.
I ain't down with slimy raisins either, you know what I'm saying?
There's a place up when my parents first lived in Baysville, had like the butter tarts with the like line up out front. Like 20 people waiting to get butter tarts.
Was it called the slimy raisin?
No, but it's like it was banging.
Where'd you get these butter tarts from? Oh, the slimy raisin up in Barrie.
Up in Baysville.
Gross.
But the secret was it wasn't too loaded with the stuff, the whatever in there, butterscotch.
The goo.
Yeah, if there's too much of it, it just makes everything rank. You gotta allow it to be around the sides and not too much in the bottom so it actually becomes part of the pastry.
See, at McCullough's Family Bakery in Stewiacke, Nova Scotia, the pastry is light and flaky, which I like better than dense, like doorstop pastry, but the goo is hard on top and it's runny underneath. So once you take a bite, the goo runs out and covers the light, flaky pastry, and that is the perfect ratio for butter tarts.
I remember the first time I was in L.A., like, touring.
They don't have them, right?
They have some type of tart thing. Whatever. This was, like, I was walking through this hotel, and it's, I think it was, like, the Roosevelt, the classic, right on Hollywood Boulevard styles. Like, classic first way to go to L.A., but walking through the lobby in the morning to do some press, there was like the Today Show or something, one of those West Coast morning shows where I recognize the host, and then there's like a kid there baking food, like making little cakes and stuff.
Up next, Tiny Chefs. Don't go away.
Hey, would you like to try some of these tasty treats that this kid made? So I'm like on TV.
What, they stopped you as a streeter?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I ate it and it was like so bad, but I didn't want it. Like, I was just a kid. So I was like, yeah, that's great. But it was so like all dusty and crumbled in my mouth. So
it was like just like mom styles?
Yeah, it was really hard
like
to react.
Like a ketchup omelet?
Yeah. Yeah, I always, yeah, ketchup in anything. Why? You could tell how much a kid loved their parents on Just Like Mom if they just start firing in relish and
wouldn't you say
mustard.
Beforehand, Mom, the one with all the relish is going to be
it's
mine.
Me. Yeah.
That's how we're going to win.
But then you got all the other kids firing everything in there.
I guess.
Remember they put like chocolate sauce and ham and all this.
Yeah, barf.
Like, why would you want to do that to your parents, let alone other people's parents? It's such a great show idea that went away. Like,
I don't know why, of all the reboots there are, I don't know why that's not one.
Like, it turns, honest television into, like, Fear Factor.
It's pretty fun to watch. My kids was the one with the spiders in it.
Patricia's mom's gone into anaphylactic shock.
Just like Mom, Fear Factor Edition.
Guy runs out with an EpiPen in a clown suit. Try to keep it light.
Hey, everyone. Gork
it's,
right in the chest.
It's Zeppy the clown with the EpiPen.
Zeppy? Hey everyone, it's Zeppy. Hi Zeppy. Gork.
Only when someone goes into shocksy. Like I even have
the nose runs?
Tissues. In my little I got this thing.
What is that thing? Slinky?
I don't know. It's some kind of trick thing.
Hey, did you always want to be on Just Like Mom when you were a kid?
Yeah, but I had the thing, like, if I'm on it, then make sure I'm the one with all the ketchup, Mom.
No kids ever figure that out.
Yeah.
One of the first times I was in Los Angeles, they were shooting Sex and the City at the Standard Hotel where we were staying. And, Sarah Jessica Parker is one of those people that has real star quality when you see them in person.
Yep.
Like, you kind of sense her before you see her. I was really surprised by that.
Now I got afraid that I have boogers. I want to make sure I don't. Sorry.
Our first video pod is ruined.
No, it's good.
Hey, Tags, it is like the winds are approaching 100 kilometers an hour now. Mm-hmm. And they're calling for snow in the next couple of days. But yesterday was like 20 degrees. So this is the winter's coming in 12 hours storm.
Ooh,
it's bananas.
Yeah.
Like, the house is shaking.
Really?
Yeah.
That's intense. And what are you going to do? Did they say anything it's getting worse? Or is there something... It's getting... Like, tomorrow means the real storm's coming? Or is, like, the wind start
so.
Of...
I guess the wind is just blowing in a different season. We're out of here on Thursday for a week. We're going to Los Angeles, which is going to be really fun. Whole fam is going. Don't tell the girls, but we got them tickets to their first concert at the Hollywood Bowl. They don't know it. They don't even know it.
That's a swank venue.
It's the best. I saw James Taylor there back in the day. And it has, this concert is like Shawn Mendes and Meghan Trainor and all the people that the kids are into, Charlie Puth.
They can do the All About That Bass.
Yeah. So we've been talking about, Carol and I, how to deal them in on it. Do we not say anything till we're sitting in our seats? Do we sort of hint that something fun is coming and bring a fancy outfit? Do we tell them when we arrive? Like, how would you do that?
I would just, tell them when you're, I don't know, it depends how grand you want to make it, right? Do you want to tell them now to get them pumped up? Maybe if they find out more about the artists that are on it, if they know now, they might enjoy it more, right?
That's a good point.
So, I don't know, you're already going on a trip to Los Angeles. They're going to see all that stuff. So throw it out there. Who knows?
I guess or part just of our a thinking special, too was...
special concert.
If we deal them in now, then that will be the only topic of conversation until we're sitting in our seats there. Which I guess is a good thing, too.
Well, you could always fire something else on the list. What else could you do?
Carol said, why don't you tell them we're going to a Lightfoot concert? So they know we're going to see a concert, but they're kind of bummed out about it. Which is... Like,
they haven't seen him before. They just know about him.
Yeah, they just know about him. Maybe they hear him on sometimes Sunday mornings. All right, are we going to play this pie chart game?
Yeah. Pie or lie?
Pie or lie? Pie or lie. Is that what it is?
Yeah, pie or lie. Pie meaning Pie Dubois, the legendary lyricist for such artists as Max Webster, Kim Mitchell, and Rush.
So you threw a picture of Pie Dubois. We were talking about it at our Toronto show, and Ed Robertson, of course, knew who Pie Dubois was.
Yeah.
Most other folks did not. You threw up a picture of him and said, who is this? And most people were like, is it Bruno Gerussi? Because he kind of looks like that.
Yeah, so, he's kind of Bruno Gerussi mixed with David Crosby. Yeah.
So a bit of background on Pie Dubois. Tell the people who Pie is. Is he still with us?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, it's worth a Google.
He's just like one... A bunch of Junos as a songwriter, the lyrics guy.
Yeah. And so like, I have to guess if it's Rush, Max Webster, or Kim Mitchell, because he wrote lyrics for all three?
Yeah, well Kim Mitchell and Max Webster is kind of the same thing, but yeah.
Is sure. Pie, is he, I assume Dubois, I assume he's Quebecois?
I think you should Google him. I think you should check it out.
The other thing...
I think so, but...
I'm also curious as to what Pie is short for.
Honestly, like, I just have a vague recollection of him being on, like, getting interviewed by, like, Brian Linehan or Denise Donlan.
Linehan?
On Much Music or whatever. A sit-down with Pie Dubois, with Moses Neimer, talking about how songwriting and moods intertwine.
Well, I kind of dig that.
Yeah, right? Should you write a song about this brook that we're looking at today, Pi?
Imagine.
I can see him like hacking a dart and like getting another dart ready before one of those.
Imagine how good you'd have to be at writing lyrics, though, if that was the what you brought to the table. It's like Burning Taupin.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody can write bad lyrics. Lots of people that write bad lyrics make it.
Yeah.
So for you to be a lyricist who's like on call to contribute lyrics to. That. You must be banged.
And that's kind of the other thing. Like, if you're writing lyrics, like, you're generally probably going to have, like, you're a little out there. Like, remember how we were talking about keyboard players? Like, lyric writers can be like, come on, man. Like, what are you wearing right now? You know, like, you're sitting in a room.
So how does that work?
Have, like, huge glasses and, like, you know... A leather tight top and like tights on.
So
writing some lyrics.
Is that how it works? Like, yeah.
Just that kind of crazy.
Pie's gonna come over and just hang out for a couple days. And you guys just like, kind of hang.
He has like a lute and he's wearing like those leprechaun clothes.
So he just lays down the melody on a lute.
I'm just saying, like, song, like lyric writers can be a little bit out there.
Did you guys ever have, is Simon from the label. He's just going to spend a couple days with you guys?
For sure, yeah. Or, like, weirdo producer. No, like, you just see them around. What is this? Is that a songwriter circle? Or there's, like, this is what this guy does at the Christmas party. You know, everybody who's got... publishing with the company showing up, they're talking about like what they do, and some of them are ridiculous. Yeah,
don't get me wrong, I'm not mocking the skill. It's quite a good skill when you hear well written songs.
And
it's always
honestly
a thrill.
I prefer people to be like that than, you know, try to toe the line and be completely normal too. Like, if you want to wear, you know, a feather boa just cruising around just for kicks, in a metal band or whatever, you know. Just I prefer going way out there than just being normal. So I don't want to say because the guy was dressed ridiculous, but I'm saying they're usually a little more
eccentric.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
But I kind of love that though. I would take eccentric over, you know, I would take that guy. Oh, he's that guy, right? Purple fur vest. He's that guy.
For sure. Absolutely. Sometimes that guy's a gas because they some of those guys really they don't give a shit about anything. So it's just like this is what's going on and living for the moment styles.
He's that guy. Let's take a break, bud.
I'm going to Google
Pi Dubois. We'll deal people in when we come right back.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Let's do it.
BRB, buds.
D. We're back.
It's our first Tiger and Torrance video podcast. And there have been some learning curves.
Yeah. Look, we have a different clothes on. Different clothes going.
Okay, Taggart. No, we don't. I have the same clothes on.
Oh, you do?
Because I thought the same thing. It's a couple days later, and I was like, I don't know. Should I put on the same thing?
Well, yeah. But we always do that. Sometimes it's segment two, where it's been a couple of days.
I know. Why I was trying to create the illusion that it was seamless. But the truth is, life happens.
It's always true with the Canadianity tip. We got to say what's going on.
I guess it's true.
We can't fake it.
I'm repping my Truro Clothing Co.
Nice. My map. And I got my Dine Alone wear.
Oh, nice.
Canadian is not a genre.
I love that slogan. There's no better fit for us than Dine Alone. And I got
it's
my
true.
Rolling Production Rentals hat on, so I'm repping myself too.
What's up with the sticker thing on hats? Like, why do people leave the sticker on?
I don't know, but
I know. TV everybody
on
does
Park
it.
Boys told me to leave the sticker on because that's what makes it look new, fresh, and dope. So I don't want to argue with that.
So then you have it like the kid who's been wearing it for 5 years and it takes its sticker off and there's a huge circle around it.
Or like the kid in school who had their pants let out and there was a white crease around and then an inch of new fresh denim. I was probably that kid.
So, it's part two. I am in my bedroom again. Is there a same painting behind you?
Yeah, it's the same big eagle.
Yeah, there it is.
Let's walk the buds through the technology involved in pulling this
off. Yeah. And let's also talk about the frustrations we're going through.
How
hard this is.
I am good at a lot of things. Technology is not one of them.
We're not those YouTuber guys.
No. So I had to drive to the school to borrow Carol's phone so you could FaceTime me on Carol's phone so I could listen to you on Carol's phone while I record the video on my phone because I can't do both. So then we both have to take our video files now and upload them to Dropbox, but tell the people what's involved in uploading a video file to Dropbox.
Well, when you upload a video from your phone to Dropbox, it takes about 5 hours for a 20-minute clip. But the beauty of it is when you're doing that uploading, you can't leave your phone off. You can't let it can't go to sleep.
Awesome.
The light can't go off. And I read up on it on YouTube. The fastest way is if you have like slow snail moving download happening on your screen is you give it one of these and it goes faster.
Like apparently. You scrub it?
You give her a little finger blast and then you're all set.
There are better ways for me to spend my Thursday afternoon.
Like, Bods, if there's a faster way, there's gotta be. Like, we're laughing about it. Like, sure, like, the Zoom to a computer is the move, but Jonathan has a computer. I don't have a computer, so we can't go that route. You could, but if there's a quicker way to upload videos from your damn phone anywhere, let us know.
So I tried.
Because that's really ridiculous. Like, it takes us back to 1997.
It's so lo-fi.
Downloading a photo or a video. Oh, man.
So here's what we did. I asked a friend of mine
dial up.
Technically inclined. Yeah. Brr. I asked a friend of mine who's technically inclined, what is the best way to do this? How do we do a video podcast? And he did a bunch of research, and he found this thing called Crowdcast. And Crowdcast is two boxes on the screen, and then once you're finished, you can see each other and hear each other. And once you're finished an hour later, you have this file that's baked together. The problem is, It looks like Bleu Nuit. Yeah. It has like, it's like scrolling.
It's like
cable bar.
You know, your face, your eyes keep moving, and it's like a bad connection.
Hey, Jared, how's it going, man?
It's like, and that's why I'm so pissed off about this stuff. Like, I can't hear certain audio.
So we have to send.
Like, we don't want to get sued by Crowdcast, but
it's just not the same quality.
Not the same quality as an actual nice camera like this.
Well, Crowdcast...
And audio like this. So we use the iRig.
Crowdcast is definitely, without a doubt, the easiest.
Yeah.
And the application we would be using it for is not typically what it's set up for. It's a video conference thing. So people log in and you can see all the people at the home office in Edmonton like, if you're crunch, in Calgary.
Crunch CEO guy.
Yeah.
With like a... So how's it going? How are you looking out there, Alberta?
Yeah, put your phone down, Maureen. I'm talking. It's for Crunch CEO. It's not necessarily for us.
Hey, but that's a nice shirt you're wearing there, Lorraine.
Oh, boy.
Whoa, like so good.
I just saw there's a Manitoba MLA who has two accusations in the last couple of days of inviting young women to sit on his lap during meetings when there aren't enough chairs. Like, dude, come on.
Like, all of a sudden, he's like, get the chairs out of here. There's too many chairs in my office.
I feel like, I got some
girls coming over here.
Dude, come on should be the new mantra. Dude, come on. Stop doing that stuff. That's the worst. And if you look at him, unfortunately, he looks like the kind of guy that would invite people to sit on his lap.
So you could do visual crunch guy where he's like, Hey, Lorraine and Kathy are coming over. Get rid of the chairs out of here. There's too many chairs in here.
Brutal.
Crunch.
So greasy. I mean, I don't understand why in this day and age, someone like that would... First of all, it's really tone deaf to not know that's not okay. Second of all...
Greasy.
Even if your instinct was self-preservation, why do you not know enough to not say something like that out loud? It's so 1957.
Yeah, it's terrible.
How do the masks keep getting elected?
Hopefully it's over. But yeah, it seems to be kind of like a thing for, I don't want to get all political, but if you want to run for Senate as a Republican, like you kind of have to have one or two of these things nowadays. Yeah. So greasy.
Speaking of cliches, holy cow.
What?
Which is Republican dudes.
Oh yeah, no. Like they're all crunch guys.
Big time.
All right. Do you want to play Pie or Lie?
Yes.
Our legendary lyricist, Pie Dubois.
I kind of like the name Pie Chart better, but it makes less
sense. Oh, really?
I'm going to look up a picture of him because we can do that on the video.
Yeah. We can print out a photo, that classic picture. Of
Jeremy?
What? What's the matter?
I just Googled Pie Dubois, and the first thing you know when Google does that kind of predictive text, he was missing in 2007.
What?
Crazy. Canadian rock lyric legend Pie Dubois, writer of a handful of Rush lyrics, along with almost all the lyrics from Max Webster and much of the Kim Mitchell catalog, has gone missing. It's unusual for Pie not to call once in a while, and even more unusual for him not to return my calls. Usually within a couple of hours. Obviously, this was resolved because it's more than 10 years ago. But I was startled to read that. Yeah, he went temporarily missing. There it is on the wiki.
But he's all set there.
Yeah, I guess so.
No problem.
Yeah.
Maybe he was looking for some fresh inspiration for some jams.
Maybe. He just kind of dropped off.
Classic Graham Parsons going to the desert styles.
So if people want to see Pie Dubois, I can do that now because this is a video podcast. This is what P-Dubs looks like.
Yes, videos. Oh, yeah. Yay. There we finally get it.
There's Pie Dubois.
There he is.
There you go.
Oh, has he got a dart going there?
I don't think he does. Oh, yeah, he does. Of course he does.
What about that other classic... one of him with the face.
Yeah, there's another picture here.
And the rings.
It's like a painting. The classic. There he is. What up,
Pie
Dubois?
What's up, Pie? Where's Pie? Is he French?
Comment ça va, Pie? I assume so. On Jeremy Lin.
Maybe he just picked up the name, like Bernie Taupin.
I wonder what pie is short for. Like piao?
P-Y-E?
Yeah.
Pie is an old name. Pie Trainer is a famous old pitcher back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
P-Y-E?
That's an old name. I think so, yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't really say where he's from. So let's play a pie chart, a.k.a. pie or lie. You're going to give me a lyric and I have to guess. Oh, there's no lie, though. They're all real ones.
Yeah, they're all real. You have to guess if it's Max Webster, Kim Mitchell, or Rush.
Okay, so pie or lie rhymes, but it doesn't make the most sense as a name.
Well, it's no different than pie chart either. I still don't know what pie chart's supposed to mean.
Well, I guess just because if you divide pie's work into a few different slices.
Of those three different bands?
Yeah. I have to decide which piece of pie you're talking about.
Is this a piece of Rush pie?
Yeah.
Or is this a piece of Max Webster pie?
Or Kim Mitchell pie?
Okay.
Who doesn't want a big greasy slice of Kim Mitchell pie?
Pie du bois pie.
All right, hit me.
Smells like hack and darts. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Hex Bordeaux Green. We don't even know if he's French.
I know. Have you not found that? What does it say on his wiki?
He's
been missing for
a
day.
Want to know?
While I say the lyric, you find that out.
Okay.
Okay. Some kind of pictures on the Sense O'Clock News. Really?
Sense O'Clock News?
Some kind of pictures on the Sense O'Clock News.
Oh boy.
Miles of yellow tape, silhouetted chalk lines, tough talking hood boys in pro team low knockoffs, conform to uniforms of some corporate entity. Don't change that station. It's a gangsta nation. Now crimes in syndication on TV.
Whoa!
Who the is pie chart? Pie du bois? Pie lie? Who? What is that? How about some of those lines in there?
I'm really trying to think. The like hooded sweatshirt gangster nation stuff feels pretty 80s.
Yeah.
And I think that was after Max Webster, which was 70s.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds Rush-like. But, yeah, I don't think that's Kim Mitchell. I'm gonna say Rush.
It is Rush.
Yes!
Got it. Awesome.
Wow.
It's Test for Echo, which is actually 90s, right?
Did you know that song?
I know the song, but I don't recognize the lyrics in it.
Man, that was a dandy, and I'm one for one.
Oh man, that's good stuff. Okay. Cold morning and the drums. Blue eyes in the window sun. Alka-Seltzer, Tang, and a 50. It's all over. Hangover. What slice of pie is that?
The Life of Pi. That's what we should have called this. Itchy there, bud?
Yeah. Hey. Lisa's behind me down the hallway.
Oh.
She's going to the bathroom.
Right on.
walking into it with shampoo and stuff. Putting stuff away, not going in there.
I want to hear that again. It's a hangover.
Oh, yeah?
It's Alka-Seltzer.
Okay.
And a 50.
Cold morning and the drums. Blue eyes in the window sun. Alka-Seltzer, Tang, and a 50. It's all over. Hangover.
It sounds like it's pretty rock and roll, right? Morning after you're banged up and you're in the studio. And it's very much trying to achieve a vibe. It's working a little bit hard, if I'm being honest with you.
A little bit, yeah. But
so I'm gonna say it's Kim Mitchell.
Close. It's Max Webster.
Dang. Okay.
The jam is actually Hangover.
Do you know The Jam?
Yeah.
This is not my wheelhouse.
Cold Morning and the Drums.
I bet dudes that are big fans of those bands are like, come on, Jordan's, it's a layup, bud. It's out okay. of my comfort zone.
Okay.
Life
what
of
is this? What is this? It's a rock song. You and I.
We can rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Where are we? We are in Rockland, Wonderland.
Yeah.
That's Kim Mitchell.
Of course.
That's classic Mitchell.
Is
that a pie jam?
The question answer, though. What is this?
This you is and a rock I? Song. We can rock and roll.
Where are we?
We're in Rockland, Wonderland. I love a good call and answer. Especially,
you think.
Right? That's a classic call and answer.
Yeah.
But it's the same person we discovered.
Why is that? Something's going on here. Like I got bit or something.
You got the itchies?
Not an itchies. It's just something. Yeah, kind of.
I
was playing in the leaves with the monkeys.
Have you ever met someone who talks like that in questions? Are we where we want to be? No, of course not. Do we have a plan moving forward? Yes, absolutely.
Well, that sounds like a coach like after a game. For
yeah,
sure.
One of those corporate America captains of industry. Will we be there next year? Guaranteed. Are we there now? No. Would we like to be in a better position? Well, of course.
How about the annoying guy? Like, why did you do that? I don't know why you did that. Why did you call me that day the other day? I have no idea why you would say something like that.
Okay. Let's do, you called me into your office for a meeting, and you're just going to talk in question speak, and I don't even get a word in.
Okay. What is it? What's the premise again? We're having a meeting?
I'll do one first. I called you into my
office.
Yeah,
you do it. Sure. Okay.
Gary, have a seat. Are you wondering why I called you in to my office? Probably.
Yeah.
Do you have any legitimate concerns about what this meeting could entail? Undoubtedly. Do you hope for a positive outcome? I'm not sure. That would say a lot about your character. Are you surprised to be in my office this morning? I can't imagine. Do you worry about what the future looks like? I don't know. Maybe not as much as I do, and that's what brings us here. Can I see you in our company 6 months from now? I'm not sure. Does part of me wish it was
like...
different? Yeah. But do I see you leaving here now with your things? You know what? I do.
It's like
will I
had
miss
to
you?
Listen.
Time will tell. But am I changing my mind? No.
Will I call you ever again? Probably not.
Probably not. Are you getting your Christmas bonus? No. Do you get to keep your parking spot? Probably not. Will people talk about you when you're gone? No. So harsh. Is that Rebsy? Hey, bud. Hi, Rebel.
Hey, Rebs.
Hi, bud.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, bud. Hi, dog. Hi, Rebel.
Hi,
Rebs. Buddy.
What's going on, Rebel?
What's your dog voice? Let's hear it.
Hey, Rebs. What's going on, Rebs? Hey, Rebs. What are you saying?
So you just go up a half octave and make it sound exciting?
Where's the bubbles? Where's the bubbles? Where's the bubbles? Where's the bubbles? Where's the Rebel?
Hi, dog. Hello,
he's
Rebel.
Fun.
Hi, buddy. Hi, bud. Hi, Rebel. Hi, boy. Hi,
he's like,
buddy.
What's good? Right now he's saying, look, he's like, can we go to sleep? You want to go to sleep?
Hi, bud.
Want to go lie? Can we lie down?
Hey,
that's
Rebs. Hi.
He's in the...
Who's a good dog?
He just, look at how tired he is. So he, for a second, his eyes start to go
well,
out.
Henry
like...
does the same thing. He gets up and pounds breakfast and goes back to bed. Hi, bud. Hey, buddy. Hi, boy. Okay, we have time for one more pie or lie. One more pie chart before we take a break.
Okay.
I'm one for two. This is the tiebreaker. Oh no, I'm two for three because I got Rockland and Wonderland.
Yeah, and I think you're gonna get the rest of these. To be honest,
will I get them? I don't know. Do I want to? Of course.
Oh, you want to? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't, Jonathan.
Maybe I don't.
And though his mind is not for rent, Don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense. Riding out the day's events.
That's Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's pretty, you have to say it like, and now his mind is not for rent.
And it'll be that. That is Rush.
His reserve, a quiet defense. That's the best one.
I like, what rhymes with arrogant? Was it government?
Riding out the day's events.
Do people like Rush for the music or for the lyrics? Or for the virtuosity of it all?
I think they gotta like it for the music, probably, mostly. It's kind of like in a different regard, like Zeppelin. It's like, I'm not a crazy fan of the lyrics, but I love the vocal performances, and the lyrics aren't great, but the music is incredible and so amazing, and the vocal performances and the melodies are so good that it doesn't really matter.
Well, it's almost like the lyrics in Rush are percussive, right? They add a layer of percussion. Right?
Well, maybe that's why Neil Peart wrote all the lyrics.
Whoa.
That could be why, right?
Why?
Never think about that?
Whoa.
Getty's like, I'm not doing this. It's like either Pied du Bois or Neil. I don't know if Getty wrote... I know he wrote lyrics on his own album. They were pretty good.
Well, it says here, Max Webster, with whom Pied du Bois was considered an unofficial fifth non-performing member.
Yeah.
Mitchell was working with Gowan, trying to truncate his lyrics, and Pie was working with Mitchell.
How's it going?
I am a wild pie party.
That's right, how bot? It's going. Hey, bots. Hey. Bam, bam, bam. That orange
pie. Welcome back, bots.
Back.
162 hours. And in some ways, it feels like it's been 162 minutes. And yet, in some ways, there are some legit milestones that we have accomplished. Live show in London, obviously. Bud's house, Andrew Axi, all that stuff. But it's been a year since our book came out.
Crazy.
It's hard to believe. And it's with the benefit of hindsight, you realize what an intense, crazy whirlwind that week was. Because if you'll remember, I think it was on the Tuesday, John Dunsworth passed away. We were in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday morning, the book came out, and we were doing all the publicity rounds on all the shows, and people wanted to ask about John, which I think we mentioned at the time was both flattering because he's someone that I love talking about because he was such a wonderful character, but also kind of a weird thing to be thrust into this position where you suddenly feel like you're supposed to be the expert on behalf of everyone that liked him.
Yeah.
And then later that day, the day of our Toronto show, the day of our book launch, Gord Downie passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was maybe the most intense 24-hour period
on ever. The show, too, you know, playing was kind of odd in Ottawa and Toronto, just the feeling of kind of sadness, but also celebrating their lives in that way was pretty special. But it being a year feels like a week ago.
It sure does. And I know on that day we kind of talked briefly about like, what do we do? Do we cancel the show? Is it disrespectful to go on with the show? And it ended up being more important than ever to have the show because it felt very healing. And you remember Clattenburg was there and he came up and talked a lot about Gord and talked a lot about John as well. And it had a weight about it for sure, but it also felt very healing and warm and squishy as it should. Mm-hmm. So inadvertently yesterday, to mark Gord's passing, you mentioned one of your favorite hip shows. Which one was it?
It was the Ontario Place Forum, and I'm pretty sure it was in 1989, and they just were blowing up, like up to here. Their first album was, I mean, New Orleans Was Sinking was kind of their biggest song at that time, but I was just blown away with how different they were
I mean, the fact that they were kind of a roots rock oriented band, but then having Gord being so poetic and different and kind of like a so dramatic on stage was definitely, anybody who hadn't seen them and then saw them, it was like nobody had ever seen. So, and it was also, it wasn't fake. Like, I'd seen singers try to be like that and try to be extravagant or take on characters in songs, and it was always kind of contrived in a way. But when he did it, it was just so honest and real that it made sense, and you could tell that he kind of did it honestly. He probably did it when they were working on songs in rehearsals and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it was a real thing. So I was blown away just as a fan of music to see, because it takes you into the lyrics a lot more when he's portraying what the character is. But sharing that memory on Twitter, there was like a deluge of like 180 replies of other people sharing their favorite moments, and there's some incredible ones. A lot of them I actually was luckily, you know, to be a part of, to play with them.
So that,
like Citadel Hill or
yeah, for sure,
Winnipeg at the War Child show, or you know, just the one in Toronto for the with Neil Young, you know, like that crazy Live 8. Like, there's just so many awesome memories of just being there and watching them. But the amount of people replying, do you have the tweet up?
Yeah.
There's some great
were
ones.
You guys playing on the same bill, that concert you're talking about in 89? Were you guys playing, or were
no,
you just there as a fan?
I was just a kid. Yeah, I was not, this was before I was even in the band.
No
so
way.
I was like 14. Yeah, just a fan.
By the way, have you seen the choir version of Grace 2 that Robbie and Johnny did with them? Beautiful.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Awesome.
So,
yeah, it's
this
nice
one.
To see them playing.
So nice to see them playing. I bet that was pretty special for them, too.
Mm-hmm.
This one from Kevin Smith. 1993, Molson Park and Barry, another roadside attraction. Midnight Oil played before them. Nautical Disaster was still a song in progress, and Gord sang an amazing version of it on a hot Starfield night. I'll never forget it. Jeremy, I'm tearing up just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Then Kevin goes on to say, remember how gorgeous it was? The music was unreal just after Fully, right before Day for Night. They had the magic, that's for sure. Midnight Oil were awesome and had global appeal, and the hip still blew them away.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
This from Nice, the hip are ingrained into so much of my teenager and adult life, so many shared experiences and memories. Mike the Bud, only saw them once, but it was with Wes. I remember that story at the time. They ended up getting an upgrade to a box, right?
A suite, yeah.
This one
banged up.
From our
great
friend Elijah McDougall from PEI. He and his wife Meg always come out to the shows when we're there. He's a musician in his own right. Citadel Hill, June 30th, 2002. I was 16. We drove from PEI to see OLP and the Hip for the first time. Wore a Brazil soccer shirt. Little did I know they'd win the World Cup later that night. Confused as I'm being pulled into random celebrations. Bob Cajun played at dusk. Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It's so... this band is so ingrained in people's experience. It's really wild, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because when they came and played a show in your city, it was a big deal. Everyone was going. So there's all kinds of attached memories with that.
Yeah. Like, I hope I see Sandra there, or Sandra was there with her ex-boyfriend, or Sandra came over and talked to me at the Hip show. Like, people have all those.
For sure.
Halley's Casino, July 15th, 2015, Ottawa Blues Fest in the pouring rain, 25th anniversary, fully, completely tour. What a show. James Duthie, New Year's Eve party, Ottawa Congress Center, maybe a year after Road Apples came out. It was a giant three-level party with DJs on the other two, so hardly anyone was there. I was standing in front of the stage by myself, basically, my second of about 30 Hip shows. Attaboy, Duthers.
Yeah, Duthers, who's actually was in a Hip tribute band, or he did covers at least, or something like
what?
That.
What?
Yeah, he's either was like, I know he was like fronted a band in high school and his college years or something, but he could rock some Hip, something like that. He's
like
good
Road Apples or one of the Maps. Oh, Tragically Hits. That's the other one.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
My hip cover band would be called Nautical Hipsaster.
Oh.
There you go. Andrew Stokely, Canada Day, Molson Park in 1990, sat out front stage right, watched Gord take off his cowboy boots and light them on fire in the center of the stage. Surreal moment and great show. The Box awesome. Were the headliners.
No.
Empty okay, place it. After the hip. I mean...
Closer together!
Well, as Seth Jordan was a backup singer, right?
No, we call that the enjoy the taillights. You just see taillights aww. While you're playing. Closer Bruno. Together! Guys,
people driveway singing to people's backs. Ain't got nobody!
You sing, you do the closer together, and I'll be the guy in the car
closer
leaving.
Closer together! Aww. That's brutal. Okay, you do closer together, and I'll be the guy. It's really mean, but it's fun, too. Okay, you do it.
Closer together, closer together, closer together.
I was adjusting my rear view.
Try.
What a sin. The Box has some bangers. Closer Together is a banger, and La Fête du Moutier in both languages is a banger. On the 30th of October, it's Bonnie, very early in the morning.
Yes.
The body was found of Elizabeth dude. Williamson.
Okay, do one more Closer Together. One
okay. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm just finding the lyrics for La Fête du Moutier. Closer together, closer together. Ain't got nobody. The look on your face is brutal.
He's like he's annoyed.
Okay, here's La Fête du Moutier as by Bonnie. If you don't know that song, I'm sure you know it. Say to me, please say that this can't be. Remember? Okay. On the 14th no, of October, very early in the morning, the results of a crime were found in the stables of the Belle Chupon. The old man had discovered, to his absolute dismay, the dislocated body of Elizabeth Dumoutier. So, the police was called in.
What?
I was handed an inquiry, yeah. Upon arriving on the scene, some photographs were shot, yeah. And when he says shot in the song, there's a ba-dum-bah to make it sound like the gunshots. Take 19 minutes and listen to La Fête du Moutier in both official languages. You will not regret it. Remember walking on the tightrope of insanity? You don't remember it?
They must have been a little great bigger out east.
February 1995.
I thought it was Closer Together, and that's about it.
No, I think there was like three big bangers.
Okay.
Dave Kaufman, my first February 1995 at the Montreal Forum, a million amazing moments since, but it all comes back to that hot boxed arena, hearing Locked in the Trunk of a Car live for the first time.
Wow, yeah, he's a big fan, one of the biggest fans there is.
Coffers, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Dave McIntyre, saw them a dozen times, and will never forget the show in Boston in a tiny rock club after we couldn't get tickets for the ACC, two sellout shows. This was the days of lining up at Sunrise Records for Stubbs. There were maybe 75 people in the place and many in Leafs jerseys. From our bud, the Hodge, who's a teacher, Cobo Hall, Detroit, November 96. It became the live album, Live Between Us.
Yeah.
Or Live Between Us. Like the Waltons, Like My Tractor, or Lick My Tractor.
Lick My Tractor.
An incredible night until I realized my wallet had been stolen mid-show. I shouldn't have put my jacket behind me. Fortunately, it was pre-9/11, so my earnest explanation got me back into Canada. Andrew Axai, might as well end with Andrews.
Yeah.
Last show in TO would be an easy answer, but I'll go with the Wyarton Airport show in 09 with my dad, opened by Sam Roberts, The Spades, and an up-and-coming band you may have heard of, Arkells.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many of these, it's hard to stop reading them. Should I do know. A couple more?
There's some great ones from, like, clubs and stuff, like, early, too.
Woodstock 99. Bunch of uninterested American fans chanting to skip the hip and go straight to Kid Rock. Gord walked on stage and said, "I feel Woodstockerific. By the end of Grace, they owned that crowd too."
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, I saw them a few times out in Europe too, like at club shows at what they were on when we were on tour, and they were on tour. I think in Hamburg once at a small place, but
that was like how really small?
Cool. Like 300 people.
Awesome. What's in the drawer?
I'm opening and closing the door. Rebel wanted to go out.
Oh, I get it now.
He's like, "Let me in." Oh.
He
wants up now. He's that dog, Lapsies.
The nice thing was, hi Rebs. The nice thing was you realize how, even though it's been a year, oh, this is a great one. Last one. Good Time Charlie. Many amazing shows, but especially loved a 13 show in Calgary. Broke up with a boyfriend while Stars opened. Spent the night alone in the pissing rain, but feeling so free and happy because none of that mattered while the hit played.
Yeah.
What higher compliment could you give a band?
That's the thing. They're in like ingrained and in, not just musically, but like in our lives, because it was almost every year, if not year and a half, they would play a big show in most cities. And that was, I don't know, from what, 1987 to a couple years ago. Like, it's crazy.
Everybody went.
It's unbelievable. Everybody went, and everybody has, if not a story personally, something happened with someone in their life that they'll never forget because that show was there.
You realize that in the year since Gord left us, it still resonates so hard with people, right? People were so quick to share their stories of shows that they went to and stuff. I found the same thing with, I tweeted marking the passing of John Dunsworth a year ago as well. And
yeah.
And one of the things that I said is the cool thing about him, there are a lot of cool things, but one of the coolest things is he did so many things in his life that people didn't know about, and they were so selfless and generous and kind, and they're trickling out like since he's been gone in the way that is just the best legacy. And so inadvertently it started a little thread with people writing and sharing things that he had done for them or their families. A guy wrote,
it's always got a story, right? With somebody's like the same thing where he's so involved with somebody for like, you know,
yeah,
half an hour or something.
From little things like I mentioned my grandmother passed and he added me on Facebook and we had a long conversation, to he convinced us that we should move to a place that was better for our family.
Wow.
A guy wrote and said we lived pretty close to the bone growing up, and John hired my mom a lot so that we could kind of squeak by. Like, in ways both big and small, he made an impact on so many lives. And
yeah,
it's interesting. I don't think I told you this. I saw Pat Roach, who plays Randy. We were on the same flight from Halifax to Toronto last week, and I hadn't seen him in a long time.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So we got off the plane and we're catching up, and he's out doing Randy's Cheeseburger Picnic. So imagine for Randy and Leahy to do a show was, you know, they could jump in and help each other out. And as you and I know, when there are two of us, it's half the workload and stuff. But for Randy to be doing a Cheeseburger Picnic by himself, that's a lot. That's a big ask.
Yeah.
But he packs them in everywhere he goes. And he said, I said, "Was it hard to get up there?" And he said, "You know, it hurt, obviously. It was surprising and not fun for some time. But then I realized John would not want me sitting around bemoaning the fact that he's gone. He'd want me to take off my shirt and get the hell out there."
Yeah.
And in a way, we owe it to these...
That makes sense.
These geniuses, these big-hearted geniuses, to live hard and do everything we want to do, because that's what they did and that's what they would want us to do, you know?
Yeah, no, that's it. And it's good to see him out there getting into it.
Yeah, the Cheeseburger Picnic.
Like, it's so crazy. Like,
I'm packing him in.
He's making burgers for people, too.
Yeah. It's and awesome. People just want to slap his gut and touch his hairy back. And he's all in. Could not be happier.
That's the best.
Hey, in the couple minutes we have left, let's talk about Arkells.
Yeah.
The big release this week. Have you heard the whole record?
I haven't heard the whole record, but it's going to be probably, I mean, everything that they do is bigger than the last.
Yeah.
And that's just the consistency with them. Honestly, it goes by so quickly. It just feels like there's a record and then there's another record. And then because the singles are so big and they're doing these crazy shows all the time.
So big.
They're the best on so many levels. Like, they work so hard, but now they're like, they're at that level where they're like thinking like a year and a half in advance. Everything is like planned and set, and it's big.
It's an industry.
Yeah.
But man, they are everywhere, and you know,
as they should be.
As they should be. No one can accuse them of not showing up. It's not just that.
No.
The band gets profiled a lot. It's that Max is showing up at a thing and the band's doing karaoke nights and they're,
yeah,
you know, like they really put in the effort. So
yeah,
that in itself is a great lesson to see them get rewarded for that, because they've been working hard. And it seems like even in the last year, the narrative has shifted from Arkell's the next big thing to Arkell's are Canada's biggest band. People say that without even any caveats.
Yeah, I don't think you could say otherwise. It really has become to, like, they've become, they own it, but they work so hard. It's almost like if you look at what Drake does in terms of how he puts albums out and how he affects his industry with how he does business, they're almost like they're taking that model and going, you know,
dropping sneaky bangers
with the whole live album rock and roll shows, and just the fact that they do different things like the Billboard and all that stuff that they bought in Buffalo, just to kind of
make some noise
in a different way, kind of make some noise. And they did it. It was a great idea for that single.
They're so dropping sneaky night bangers.
They're just
like nachos and sneaky D's.
Hey, it's Halloween almost time.
It's jalapenos almost and nachos and sneaky D's. That's all I can think about because I'm right hungry.
I just saw those guys are about to leave, I think, on the 21st for like a 3-week horseshoe of the states.
Man.
You know, like starting out west and going all the way
Seattle
down
to
South
New York.
Texas. Yeah.
Banger.
Crazy.
Hey, Jeremy.
So that's...
Is that dog you got there?
Rebs?
What do you want for that?
Oh, it's a little palm tree, Rebs. I don't know. I got him about a year ago.
Does he shed much?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Is he purebred?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got papers for him?
Well, he's a half Pomeranian, half Chihuahua, so
okay.
He's a palm tree.
Does he piss outdoors? Palm.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't spray in the house. He used to when he was a pup, but not now.
What do you want for that?
How much you want for that? I don't know. He's a tough one. I don't think I can part with this little monkey.
Would you consider Florida? 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 Florida?
Florida?
Florida?
Florida?
Florida? Good chat, bud.
Good chat, bud.
Bananas are potassium. Bananas are yellow. Bananas,
bananas come in bunches. Sometimes there's tarantulas in them. But